Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
Hello, Herman and Corin. Greatly enjoyed listening to the episode regarding control nets, which I just enjoyed. And it was great listening to Herman go into the actual mechanics of image generation models and how they work a little bit. You were talking in that episode about the actual diffusion process and how in Comfy UI, all these different steps and components that are usually hidden from the user interface are exposed. And as you mentioned, it does seem very intimidating at first. And it also shows up a whole kind of different lexicon of words that are foreign for those who are encountering them for the first time. One of those being diffusion. We've heard of stable diffusion, but what is diffusion? And then these accessory nodes that you see on the graph. If you load up a graph for image generation, text to image, or image to image, suddenly you're seeing words like clip, text encoding, VAE. I think I might have got some of these wrong. But I'd love to know exactly what all these little dots in the jigsaw are. And presumably, the context in which most people are familiar with image generation is much more casual. You go into something like, let's say, Leonardo or ChatGPT for that matter, and you write a prompt and you click a button, as you said. In interfaces like Leonardo, you have a little bit more control. You might be able to add a negative prompt, but we're still not seeing anything like this level of granularity. So is it the case that all these services are just abstracting that from the user? These are all components that they are architecting on their back end. And I guess what I'm wondering is, are there any platforms? Comfy UI seems kind of like the extreme of let's control everything. And there still seems like quite a gap to me between the control nothing aspect, hit, as you said, hit a button and hope for the best, and that. I'm wondering, are there any intermediate services where things like control nets, etc., are built into cloud platforms that don't require the user to sort of get involved in the infrastructural complications of all of this, namely provisioning GPUs, etc. Love to hear you guys talk about that. And until my next question.
Welcome back to AI Conversations, the show where we peel back the layers of artificial intelligence to understand what's really going on under the hood. Today, we're diving into the fascinating and sometimes, frankly, intimidating world of AI image generation.
And I think what's interesting, Corn, is that most people experience this world as a simple magic trick. You type a few words, hit a button, and voila, an image appears. But behind that elegant curtain lies a meticulously orchestrated symphony of algorithms, often hidden, and understanding just a few of those notes can unlock truly incredible creative control.
Right, and that's precisely what our listener, who we'll call AI Curious, hit on in their fantastic audio prompt. They were talking about how tools like Comfy UI expose all these individual steps and components that are usually abstracted away in more user-friendly interfaces. Terms like diffusion, clip, VAA, text encoding. Suddenly, it's not just a button anymore. It's a whole jigsaw puzzle. And it's intimidating, but also, for someone like me, incredibly intriguing.
Indeed. AI Curious's prompt really captures a central tension in current AI development, the trade-off between user-friendliness and granular control. On one end, you have platforms like Midjourney or ChatGPT's DALL-E integration, which offer a seamless prompt and generate experience. On the other, you have tools like Comfy UI, which are node-based and visually lay out every single process involved in generating an image.
And the question, as AI Curious put it, is what is diffusion? And what are all these dots in the jigsaw? Are these simpler services just abstracting this whole complex architecture away from the user? And crucially, is there a middle ground? A place where we can get more control than just a simple prompt, but without having to become a full-blown AI engineer provisioning GPUs and configuring intricate workflows.
That's the sweet spot many creators are searching for. So, let's break it down. First, to answer the fundamental question, what is diffusion in the context of image generation? Imagine you have a beautiful, clear photograph. Now, imagine slowly adding static, or noise, to that image, little by little, until it's completely obscured by random pixels.
Okay, I'm picturing a fuzzy TV screen, or an old VHS tape. Just pure static.
Exactly. A diffusion model works in reverse. It starts with that pure static, just random noise, and then, through an iterative process, it removes that noise step by step, gradually refining the image until it reveals a coherent picture. It's essentially learning how to denoise its way to a desired output.
Wow. So, it's not creating from nothing. It's cleaning up something that's already there, but in a chaotic state? That's a really interesting way to think about it. It's like sculpting by chipping away at a block of marble, but the marble is pure randomness.
Precisely. And the sculpting tool it uses is a neural network, often a UNet architecture, which predicts what noise needs to be removed at each step. This process is guided by your text prompt, which helps the model understand what image it should be aiming to denoise towards.
Okay, so that's the core engine, the diffusion process. But then AI Curious mentioned all these other terms, clip, VAE, text encoding. These are the jigsaw pieces they were talking about. Herman, what are these components, and how do they fit into this denoising sculpting process?
Excellent question. Let's start with clip, which stands for Contrastive Language Image Pre-training. Think of clip as the model's eyes and ears for understanding your prompt in relation to visual concepts. It's trained on a massive dataset of images and their accompanying text descriptions. So, when you give it a prompt like a majestic golden retriever running through a field of sunflowers, Clip helps translate that text into a rich numerical representation, an embedding that the diffusion model can actually understand and work with.
So, it's like the model's internal dictionary and visual guide. It's not just taking my words literally. It's understanding the meaning and context of those words in a visual sense. That's fascinating. So a better clip model means my prompts are understood more accurately, right?
Exactly. And it also helps filter out noise during the generation process, ensuring the generated image aligns closely with your textual description. It's crucial for prompt adherence. Next, let's talk about VAE, or Variational Autoencoder.
VAE. That sounds a bit intimidating already.
It can be, but think of it this way. The diffusion process works in what's called latent space. This is a compressed, abstract representation of the image data, not the raw pixels you see. The VAE has two main parts, an encoder and a decoder. The encoder takes a regular image and compresses it down into this latent space, making it much more efficient for the diffusion model to work with. Then, after the diffusion model has done its denoising in latent space, the VAE's decoder takes that cleaned up latent representation and expands it back into a high resolution, full pixel image that we can actually see.
Ah, so it's like a translator and a restorer. It crunches the image down so the heavy lifting of diffusion can happen more efficiently, and then it reconstructs it so we get a crisp final output. Is that why sometimes, if the VAE isn't good, you might get fuzzy or distorted images?
Precisely. A high-quality VAE is critical for generating sharp, detailed images and ensuring the colors and textures are well reconstructed. It's the final polish. Without it, even a perfectly denoised latent image might look blurry or have artifacts when decoded into pixels. Then there's text encoding, which often refers to the initial step where your human-readable prompt is converted into those numerical representations, or vectors, that the clip model and the overall diffusion pipeline can process. It's the very first transformation of your idea into machine-understandable data.
Okay, so these are fundamental building blocks. And in something like ComfyUI, you see nodes for each of these. The clip text encoder, the VAE encoder, the VAE decoder, the UNet sampler. You can literally swap them out, connect them differently, or even add custom components.
That's the power and the complexity of ComfyUI. It's a visual programming interface for generative AI. You're not just typing a prompt, you're designing the entire computational graph. You can decide which specific VAE to use, which sampler algorithm, like DDIM, Euler, DPM++, and even chain multiple models together. This offers unprecedented flexibility for experimentation and highly customized results.
Which sounds amazing for researchers or hardcore enthusiasts. But then, as AI Curious pointed out, you have the other end of the spectrum. Tools like Leonardo, AI, or even just prompting ChatGPT's image generation. You type, you click, you get an image. It's fast, it's easy. So, are these simpler tools just running a comfy UI-like workflow in the background, but hiding all those dots in the jigsaw?
Essentially, yes. They are providing a streamlined, pre-configured pipeline. They've made decisions for you about which VAE to use, which clip model, what sampling steps, what scheduler. These platforms abstract away the underlying complexity to prioritize ease of use. They've built an ideal workflow for most common use cases and present it as a simple input field and an output image.
So, when I'm using Leonardo, I'm not choosing a VAE, but Leonardo is choosing one for me. And probably a very good one, optimized for general use. It's like buying a pre-built computer versus assembling one component by component.
A perfect analogy. You get immediate functionality, but you lose the granular control over individual parts. And this brings us to the core of AI Curious's prompt, the desire for an intermediate level of control. They noted the gap between the control nothing aspect, hit a button, and hope for the best, and the control everything extreme of comfy UI.
It sounds like a prosumer level of AI image generation. Like, I don't want to build the entire engine, but I do want to swap out the tires or tweak the suspension. I want to add control nets, for example, without having to provision a GPU, install comfy UI, download models, and manage the infrastructure myself.
This is a critical area for innovation right now. Control nets, as we discussed in a previous episode, allow you to guide the diffusion process with an additional input, like a sketch, a depth map, or a pose estimation. They offer a very powerful layer of control, letting you dictate specific aspects of the output image beyond just a text prompt.
And that's exactly the kind of feature that feels like it should be accessible without needing to be an expert in back-end server management. I just want to tell the AI, hey, generate me a character, but keep her in this pose, and provide a quick sketch, not worry about GPU memory.
Precisely. The challenge for platforms offering this intermediate level is balancing that exposure of advanced features with a simplified user experience. You still want to prevent users from getting overwhelmed by too many options or making choices that lead to poor results. Some platforms are starting to address this. For instance, you're seeing cloud-based services like RunDiffusion or even certain advanced interfaces within Civitai or Hugging Face Spaces that allow users to launch pre-configured comfy UI instances or offer more detailed settings panels that expose ControlNet options without demanding full local setup.
So, they're abstracting the infrastructure, but exposing some of the workflow options. That's definitely the kind of missing middle that AI Curious was talking about. Like, instead of showing me every single clip encoder option, maybe just show me a toggle for stronger prompt adherence, or let me upload a ControlNet conditioning image directly within a guided workflow.
Exactly. Or offering a selection of popular, well-tuned VAEs with clear descriptions of what they're good for. One for realistic detail, another for anime style, for example. The key is to provide intelligent defaults and context-sensitive options rather than a raw, uncurated array of every possible parameter. It's about designing a user interface that guides you through the power rather than throwing you into the deep end.
That makes a lot of sense. So, for our listeners, what are the practical takeaways here? For someone just starting, or even someone who wants to dip their toes into that intermediate control?
For beginners, don't feel intimidated by the complex terms. Start with the simpler UIs like Midjourney or Leonardo AI. Get comfortable with prompt engineering. But as you progress, start to ask why certain prompts work better, or why some images have certain qualities. That curiosity will naturally lead you to explore the jigsaw pieces.
And for those aspiring for more control, like AI Curious?
For those looking to move beyond basic prompting, start by understanding the scumption of each major component we discussed, CLIP for prompt understanding, VAE for image quality and reconstruction, and the UNet diffusion process for the core generation. Then, explore platforms that offer slightly more granular control, especially those that integrate control nets or allow you to choose different models and samplers without requiring a full local setup. Look for cloud-based services that manage the GPU provisioning and setup for you.
So, it's about finding that sweet spot where the platform gives you enough levers to pull for your specific creative goal, without overwhelming you with the entire machinery. It sounds like the industry is actively working on building out that prosumer bridge.
Absolutely. The future will likely see even more intuitive interfaces that intelligently expose advanced features, perhaps even using AI itself to help users design and optimize their workflows. We might see dynamic interfaces that adapt to a user's skill level, gradually revealing more complex controls as their understanding grows.
That's a fascinating thought. AI designing the AI workflow. It highlights the ongoing dance between making AI accessible and empowering advanced users. It's clear that the more we understand these underlying components, the more truly creative and intentional we can be with generative AI.
Indeed. The journey from static to stunning is a complex one, and the more we demystify those steps, the more artists and creators can truly harness the power of these models.
Fantastic discussion, Herman. Our thanks again to AI Curious for that incredibly insightful audio prompt. It really opened up a great conversation. And to all our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the mechanics of AI image generation.
We're constantly exploring the frontiers of AI, so be sure to subscribe and tune in next time for more AI conversations.
Until then, keep asking those big questions. Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.